Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take Command Podcast, Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here as we record on Thursday, May 8th. Tomorrow is Friday, May 9th, and that day is rookie minicamp, Logan Paulson. So we will be out in Ashburn. We will review that next week. We might mix up the schedule a little bit. Of course, still taking your mailbag questions, but we'll do a rookie minicamp review early next week as well. And then, of course, Mina Kimes is going to join us on Thursday. But going into this, obviously, we've talked plenty about the draftees, including on today's show, Logan. But there's also some UDFAs that we want to highlight. So we picked three off of the list. And of course, it's worth reminding, there are priority undrafted free agents, guys that we think really have a chance to make the team, and that guys that will be signed or already have been signed in some cases to the 90-man roster. And then there are also a bunch of other invites. Occasionally, one of those guys earns a training camp, what's essentially a training camp invite. He'll make the 90-man, probably doesn't have a chance of making the team, but can he make the practice squad and next year make the team? So there's all different levels just because a guy's at rookie minicamp. Sometimes, honestly, you're doing a favor to an agent type of deal. So there's all kinds of politicking that happens with these things. And you also have to fill out enough of a roster at a rookie minicamp to actually be able to have a practice. But we've picked three guys that we think are worth paying attention to that will probably be around for the remainder of the spring and into the fall at the very least. And then we'll see if they wind up making the team come September. First guy, Logan, that you've highlighted is Robert McDaniel, a safety from Jackson State. What you like about him?
So I like a lot about him. I mean, he's playing at Jackson State, so it's borderline. In terms of level of competition, it's borderline. But he came in as a corner, and then he moved to safety. And then in that defense, the safety kind of plays overhang, so he's covering the slot. Or he's also on the line of scrimmage, kind of like Jeremy Chinn was last year, kind of in your odd front. And there was a game, I think it was versus Alabama State I was watching, where he's taking on pulling guards, and he's using his length, and he's running with receivers. And then I was talking to a scout who said that there was a game where there was an injury, and so he started at safety and then ended up playing corner. So he's playing like defensive end edge in their safety package, and then he's covering outside receivers. And when I see safeties that have his height, he's 6'2", his weight, he's 210 pounds, he ran a 4.5 40, tested pretty well at his pro day. Like, I see that, and I'm like, that's a guy that I want to take a shot on. And when you look at the body types of the guys they brought in to play linebacker, safety, Kane, 6'3", 225, Dominic Hampton, 6'3 and a half,
We'll see what he weighs after his linebacker conversion redshirt year, where he was told to eat a lot of protein and lift a lot of weights.
Yeah, like Jeremy McGee, same type of deal, right? McGee, 6'3". Yeah. Jeremy McGee's the guy I played with in college. Jordan McGee.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, 6'3 and a half. Like, he's kind of in that same mold, a bigger, longer, rangier guy. And I like his coverage set. I like his physicality. And so, again, it's a little bit of a projection because the Jackson State thing, it's not always clean. Like, his football IQ is not always 1,000%. But I like the player, and I like his prospect of, kind of fitting in with, even, the guys, think about Tyler Owens, big, long, rangy. Like, Ben Nickel, he's the practice squad safety, big, long, rangy. Like, they have a type. And yeah, he fits the type of this, and he's and his play is pretty good. You know, like the corner coverage ability, the in the box play. So they have a type. He fits it, and I think he's a good football player. So
it's so funny because they're like the later they get in drafts, it seems like the more they're just like, is this dude an athletic freak? Can we figure it out? Like, you know, Bill's a little bit different. He just is an instinctual runner, and you just watch him. He's a lot of fun, and he doesn't necessarily have huge testing numbers in the way that like Medrano does, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, McDaniel, nearly an 11-foot broad jump. Like he's kind of a freaky athlete. And you'd say the same thing about Carlin Vigors, the next guy you want to talk about, the corner out of Louisiana Monroe, 6'1", 205. Again, a 10-foot, 10-inch broad jump, 38-inch vert, ran a 4.52, like kind of a freaky athlete, 33-inch arms for a guy who's 6'1 at the cornerback position. So what do you like about Carlin Vigors?
Yeah, so I only watched one game for him. It was the Texas game. So he's going up against Isaiah Bond and Matthew Golden and all these guys. And he looked excellent. He looked like a guy who should have been drafted. And again, I didn't watch all his games, but when you leave that game, you're kind of like, man, this guy's pretty good. Like they played a little bit of cover three, did a great job staying over top, kind of keeping everything in front of him, running with, you know, Isaiah Bond, running with Matthew Golden. He had some man-to-man downs where he's up pressing guys, keeping good leverage. He seems to track the football pretty well. I think the one thing that jumped out to me is he's not a killer when it comes to tackling. And I don't need my corners to be absolute murderers, but I need them to be okay and like willing to do it. He seemed like he was a little bit disinterested in it. So that'll be interesting to see when he gets to camp. And again, like I watched one game, so maybe he's, you know, like Dick Butkus in the other games, who knows. But he struck me as a guy who kind of, if they were still playing a heavy cover three team, I'd be like, man, he's going to make the team for sure. So it'll be interesting to see him because, again, his zone, his feel in zone I thought was really good. I thought he did a great job in man-to-man coverage too, but I want to see him do that more versus NFL top-flight receivers. But the Texas game was excellent. And, again, I came out of that game being like, why didn't this dude get drafted? One game does not tell a complete story, but liked him a lot, liked what he brings from a measurement athlete kind of standpoint. And the film was good, you know, the game that I watched. So, that's why he's on the list of kind of guys to keep an eye on. I think both these guys got a shot. You know, obviously they're running in the outside lane. It's going to be tough for them, but I think they both got a shot to make the team.
Yeah, and those are the kind of guys, too, that can they make the team as special teamers?
Yeah, and, I think that's, you know, exactly that's right.
Tyler Owens and you know, some of the other guys that made it as UDFAs last year, Colson Yankoff on the offensive side, like he made it. Yeah, Colson, you know, showed some things on offense, made a couple of plays here and there, but like, dude's a special teams demon. And considering how much they value that, that they think that is a part of the game that they can have an advantage over other teams in, that's going to matter because you just need those guys that are cheap at the end of roster that maybe have some developmental upside, but can give you something right now. And especially, I think, in a class draft wise. Now, again, they kept 11 last year, 2024 rookies, I should say, between their 9 draftees and then Owens and Yankoff. They've only got 5 draftees this year. It seems like there might be some UDFA spots available, but we'll see. Last guy we're going to highlight, Ja'Cory Brooks. He's a really interesting story. Wide receiver out of Louisville, and very much profile-wise, the opposite of McDaniel and Vigors. Like, this is a guy that does not test really well. In fact, his testing is kind of worrisome, which is probably why he goes undrafted. But his production is crazy. He was a 5-star recruit, went to Alabama, had an okay time at Alabama, goes to Louisville last year, and he's Tyler Shook's favorite target, has a 1,000-yard receiving season at Louisville. Even though he, again, ran a 4.65 at his pro day, he had 20 catches of 20 yards or more in 2024. That's third in amongst Power Four players, only behind Travis Hunter and Matthew Golden. So production-wise, this dude's got it. Testing-wise, not so much. What do we think of Ja'Cory Brooks?
Watching his cutups, like watching his targets, so all the routes that he ran at Louisville, I'm like, man, this guy's pretty good at football. You know what I mean? Like, it shows up. Like, the way he tracks the football is high level. Like, I think it was versus Pittsburgh. He has this play where the DB kind of pulls him down. So he's looking over his left shoulder to catch the ball. The DB pulls him down. He does a complete 180. So he's not looking at the ball. He's looking at the ground. He somehow gets his eyes back up in time and makes a diving catch. And then he has a bunch of like these posts where he's catching the ball away from him. He just has really good ball skills. instincts to the football, tracks the football well. He's got a nice short area quickness. Reminds me like a little bit of like Stevie Johnson. Remember the guy that used to play for the Bills? Like, yep. A taller, longer frame that's pretty good short area. And so for the receiver stuff, I think you say, oh, man, that's pretty good. But then you see him catch the ball in the open field, and he's the kind of guy that's like looking behind him because he's not the fastest guy in the world. And, you know, he ran a 4.65 at his pro day. So yeah, not super explosive, but long arms. Good, really good catch radius. Really good catch radius. That's like, if I was going to say something that's like his superpower, that's what I would kind of designate there as his skill set. The way he catches and tracks the football is high level, and his short area burst is pretty solid. So, again, there are limitations to him athletically, but I think he's a guy that's going to flash a little bit and maybe be able to carve out a spot for himself as like that sixth, seventh kind of wide out role.
Yeah, he blocked a punt multiple years when he was at Alabama, so he's got some special teams experience, which matters. And, you know, the testing numbers are interesting, especially you start reading up the profile in the Beast that Dane wrote up on him. And under weaknesses, Dane's got doesn't have.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I have a fifth gear. He just like doesn't have that top end, which is why he ran a 4.65. But he's got a 1.56 10-yard split, which is not great, but it's not bad. He ran a 4.35 short cone or short shuttle. That's not elite by any stretch, but it's not bad. Like it's probably more middle of the road wide receivery, or maybe even like, you know, slightly above average than it is. But he just doesn't have the top end sprint speed to pull away at the NFL level, or even when he gets the ball and, you know, gets that separation to go. So that's a really interesting, intriguing guy, a guy that's got some feel, got some know-how, has a great track record of production. Can he make some plays starting in rookie minicamp this weekend? Probably. And then can that be enough to get him an invite to OTAs? And then do you become Sam Hartman's favorite target enough to earn you some snaps up the depth chart? You know, make some noise on special teams and make the team. Like, this is a team that has a really interesting receiver room already. I think there's a lot of bodies in there that we feel pretty confident are going to make the team. But again, special teams going to be the difference, and he's got an interesting track record there. He's also returned kicks in the past. Not that I think that's what they're probably looking for him to do. But if he's got at least the experience of being a part of a kick return unit, part of a punt return unit, part of punt block, you know, all that kind of stuff. Maybe he's got, you know, done some tackling in his day at the receiver position. That's a good skill set to have as the sixth guy in a wide receiver room.
Yeah, I think 100%. And again, the receiver, like the film is good. Like it's good. Like the way he runs routes, the way he finds space, the way he protects football, it's good. So I do think there is an opportunity for him if you know how to utilize his skill set. So seeing him in rookie minicamp is going to be interesting. And then again, watching him when he gets with like the varsity football players, like does the speed issue show up? Because again, on film, like the short area stuff, it doesn't really show up. You know what I mean? It's not like a huge issue, but just how he fits in the offense. I'm curious. He's an interesting player because over 1,000 yards receiving, man, on 60 catches, like he's got something. And like I said, the film's a lot of fun to watch. So it'd be interesting to see if that lack of a fifth gear is detrimental long term.
Yeah, his second year at Alabama in 22, he only had 39 catches, but 8 of them went for touchdowns. Like he just has a knack for it. And he had 9 touchdowns and 61 catches, 1,000 yards last year at Louisville. So he's a guy that just figures out how to make plays down the field, at least at the college level. And again, he was a five-star recruit. Emeka Egbuka was the only receiver that was rated higher than him.
Wow.
Coming out in their class. So definitely an interesting guy. All right. Next time, we'll talk about how they did because it will be next week and we'll have gone to rookie minicamp. Until then, get your mailbag questions in on Instagram at Hoffman.sports or at Logan_Paulson82 on Instagram. You can also use HoffmanShow.com, use the contact link, or send us an email there. So that's our show. Thanks for watching and listening. We'll see you next week for our rookie minicamp recap and some of your mailbag questions. Then on Thursday with Mina. Thanks again for watching and listening. Stay tuned.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.